The federal government is beginning to describe how it's using its expanded powers in the war on terrorism. Congress and civil liberties groups have been demanding more information for months. And in this past week, the Bush administration released a stack of papers. They offer at least a glimpse into what the government has been doing with new authority granted since September 11. NPR's Larry Abramson has been looking through the documents and joins us now. Larry, welcome.
Hi, Steve.
First, let's talk about the U.S. Patriot Act, which I gather is the heart of the debate here. This was passed shortly after September 11. What does it allow the government to do, and what has the government been doing with that power?
Well, the biggest concern about the USA Patriot Act is that it will allow a greater number of federal wiretaps for surveillance in the case of terrorism cases. And civil liberties groups have been very worried because it's much easier to get these surveillance wiretaps, and they're worried that they're basically going to use this lower standard to use these wiretaps in criminal cases. That's the major concern. There are many other issues that they're worried about. It's easier for the FBI to get library records, to get records of what kind of books people have been reading in bookstores. It's also easier for the government to eavesdrop on conversations between terrorist suspects and their lawyers. So these are just some of the main concerns about the changing legal backdrop to the war on terror.
And you mentioned civil liberties groups. It's also a Republican member of Congress, James Sensenbrenner, who's been demanding more information about exactly how the government is using this power.
That's right. He's been very frustrated because the government has said, well, for national security reasons, we can't release this information. This report, this finding that the government released this week, is really the most substantial set of answers that we've gotten to those questions.
So critics of the administration have been saying that all kinds of abuses could be going on without our knowing.
But we don't really know because we can't see the government records.
Well, are those concerns justified now that some information has been put out?
Well, I think to some extent what's surprising is that those concerns are not justified on the basis of the records that were released this week. There has been an increase in federal wiretapping, and I don't think anybody is surprised that after September 11th you would have more eavesdropping and conversations going on. But we're not talking about tens of thousands of wiretaps. We're talking about maybe a 25% increase in wiretaps. And when it comes to monitoring of libraries, which is a big topic, there have been contacts with about 50 libraries in the course of investigations. And in some cases, that was because the librarians called the FBI and said, this guy's acting weird. I think something's going on here. And only one prisoner was designated to have his conversations monitored. That was Sheikh Rahman, who has been convicted in terror investigations in New York. Nobody else has. So many of these tools haven't actually been used.
And let's talk about another federal program here. It was called the Total Information Awareness Program. I guess that sounded a little too total, and so
too
now
creepy.
It's called the Terrorism Awareness Program. What did the documents tell you about that?
We took the Orwellian varnish off by calling it the Terrorism Awareness Program. And this is a separate report, actually, that came out this week, Steve, that the Pentagon had to deliver to Congress because Congress was worried about this program, too. And so members demanded a report on how this thing would work. Would it be effective, and what sort of laws would actually affect whether or not your information could be searched through. Total information or terrorism information awareness is supposed to sift through lots of information that's out there in public and private databases and try to figure out who is the greatest terrorist risk. Where are the threats coming from? And the report that came out this week insisted that all of this could be done without violating any privacy laws, that actually a lot of these databases that are out there, credit information, driver's license information, census data, is only protected under certain circumstances, that total information awareness would not violate those rules, and that this was all perfectly legal.
You're saying that the government can gather enormous amounts of data about American citizens and it breaks no law.
Well, the government doesn't have to gather it, and that's the key here, Steve, is that ChoicePoint or many of these private firms that gather information for commercial purposes can gather this for their own reasons, and then the government can go in like any customer and say, I want to run a search. So it's quite a novel and very important way that the government has the power now to go around some of the privacy laws that were originally written to stop the Nixonian excesses that happened in the 60s and 70s where investigations were conducted of individuals.
I want to make sure that I understand the basic idea of this program by whatever name we give it. The idea is the government is saying there is an enormous amount of information
that
is available about almost everybody in the United States, and we want to be able to gather it, search through it, and make much better use of it than we're able to do right now.
They're saying there must be a way to predict terrorist attacks better than we are doing it right now. They're saying let's look through all of the purchasing patterns. Let's look through flight patterns, travel patterns, and see if we can't predict when these these things are likely to happen. But in order to do that, they have to poke around in things that you might not want them poking around in.
Well, now tell me, the congressional critics of the administration, the people who've been demanding more information, do they acknowledge at least that there is a legitimate argument for these new security procedures, these new powers, and these new programs?
Well, you know, the number of times you've heard people talk about connecting the dots and trying to get smarter and everything is, you know, almost amazing. And so everybody acknowledges that the government needs to get smarter about intelligence. But it is true that every time a solution is proposed, everybody says, well, wait a minute, that could be abused.
All these documents and reports that were released this past week, what do they look like? Stack of papers, or what is this exactly?
We're talking about a couple hundred pages. It's not as huge as you would think. And actually, I think that says something, which is that we are there's still very little information about what the government is actually doing to fight the war on terror. And we don't know exactly how effective these things have been. The government had a very small number of cases that they were able to cite that were helped, terrorism cases that were aided by the use of the Patriot Act, for example. But really, we're just talking about a handful. It's probably going to take years or decades before we're able to gauge whether or not these new powers were really critical in fighting the war on terror, or whether or not they were something that the government wanted to get anyway and didn't really need for that.
NPR's Larry Abramson covers law enforcement and other issues. Larry, thanks very much.
Thank you, Steve.